Mr. Comedian Detroit Red in the house.
What up, yo?
Yes, and we got my celebrity co-host for this podcast show, Mrs. Comedian, motivational comedian, Miss Woody, in the house, because y'all know each other, actually.
Yes.
You know, I think you did a comedy show over there in St. Louis together.
Yes, I think that was Woody's first comedy contest.
Yes, I've been working to get it to the standard in which I wanted it to be, and I'm getting closer and closer to mastering the goal. But we'll get a little bit into that at a later time, whether we talk about it on the cast or we talk about it at another time. But I'm gonna let Yolanda go ahead and get started.
All right. I'm really excited about, when I read your, it looks so professional, your bio. It's amazing what all you have done. I almost got tired. I had to relax and calm myself down when reading all the amazing things you've done, and then your comedy alone, this says for you, you know, in that regard. You know, Mr. Detroit Red. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're not only a comedian, but you're an actor too.
I dib and dab. Mostly, I act like a fool.
Oh, Lord.
That's what we do as comedians. We show our creativity.
Right. Or like my mama said, act like a fool.
Shame devil, tell the truth. But how do you balance the two? You do your comedy set, you know, you're hilarious on stage, and then you do your acting. How do you balance it?
Well, it really ain't that hard, because I really do more comedy than I do acting. The acting is something that may happen, that come about here and there. So when I do get an opportunity to take a role, I just won't book anything for that time period if it's going to be conflicting, so that I can dedicate my time to the role or whatever part I may have gotten lucky enough to get.
Oh, wow. Amen. Amen. That's dedication to the art, the craft of comedy, you know. Yes.
Yeah, I love my comedy. I'm gonna tell you, when I started doing comedy, you know, at first I was surprised I started doing comedy. And once I got that bug, you know, because we all, any comic that keeps going, have been bit by the bug, it was like I could never really see me doing nothing else but traveling and just making folks laugh. I had already been a class clown most of my kidhood and the teenage years. And once I really got into it and got to understanding and learning the game of comedy as well as the business side of it, I knew right then if I wanted to have any success, I would have to put some dedication and time to it. It couldn't be a pass by night type thing.
And you definitely hit something on the head when you said learning the business side of it, and that's basically what I had to do. And I found my love on the other side of comedy. I still do stand up from time to time and doing some writing and things of that nature for my love of comedy.
So right.
You're definitely right. Learning the business. When you start learning the business of this industry, oh my goodness, you see so much you wouldn't expecting to see, and it slaps you in your face, and that's when you really have to know which direction you want to go in this industry. But go ahead. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I tell a lot of comics, new and upcoming comics, the business is funny, but the business is really 90% business, 10% fun. You know, and if you don't know the business side of this game, you can easily find yourself on the wrong road, or you could be on the right road, get taken advantage of. It's so many different things that can happen when you don't know the business. And I've always prided myself on trying to master the business side, because in reality, that's where the money comes from. It's a million funny folks out here doing what we do. But to actually make the money to sustain a comfortable living and enjoy what you're doing at the same time, you've got to know that business side. The business side.
That's right.
And Mark,
because I can't say this. Out of all of the comedians I know that have a name for themselves, that have been in a movie that, you know, we recognize or played a role in maybe a stage play or shared the stage of some A-listers, B-listers, and then you find a lot of them right back kind of like where they started, working a regular job, still trying to hustle the stage. That's the reality of it. Yes.
And that
was a harsh reality.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely, and networking too.
Yes.
Going out there and being a part of associations, you know, as far as, you know, because many of them outside of comedy don't know that there's comedy associations out there. You know, just for
people. Yes.
You know? And, you know, so I wonder, have you yourself have thought about starting your own, comedic association yourself for comedians?
I have never been in one, and you actually just gave, 21 years, you just actually gave me some, you know what I'm saying, new information, and, you know, you never stop learning. You know, we congregate is what I like to call it. A lot of the networking you do is with your other comics or whatnot, and I do a lot of that, but I've never been in an association, and I'm not opposed to it because I'm really a person about networking. Even though this comedy in a degree is an individual sport, because you're not going to make it with a bunch of other folks. It's not like a team thing. It's still about networking to keep the industry strong and to keep the industry vibrant and constantly going. So I would never be opposed to being a part of something that includes networking, old talent, new talent, upbringing talent. I'm definitely about that.
And I'm glad you said that, because that was one of the main reasons why I started the comedy movement. And those who don't really get the full understanding of what the comedy movement is about, it's really about us at all different levels. Showed up, I can, you know, relate to this with you rather than Yolanda, because between us, we've seen it all, no matter what city you're in. We all know someone who's way up there in the comedy industry and has fallen down for whatever reason. It doesn't matter if it was maybe some drug addiction or financial situation. If we're not learning from each other and giving each other the advice, and instead of holding it back, man, we would be such a much more powerful industry, because our connections is so, we're unique because of who we are and how we network and how we connect. Because anybody can pick up the phone and call somebody in another city, and you get the lowdown and the up on anybody. But if that person don't like you, oh my goodness, they're going to talk bad about you. And I'll sit back and I'll say, wow, we're one in the same. We're all traveling that same road and have gone up or down that road. You know, we're one in the same.
Right.
It's crazy, but I'm going to keep going, you know, with the comedy movement and doing what I need to do to create this comedy festival that I'm doing that is a win-win for all. You know, I did a lot of research over all the years that I was hustling the stage, going to different comedy competitions, researching. I mean, I was going to the events and wasn't even trying to win. I mean, I was deep in research.
Right.
Trying to find out everything that I can about how can we turn this not so much of a competition, but into a way that we all can build and grow and win from. And that's what my comedy festival collaboration is all about. But people will get a chance to see it when it comes full circle.
All right. And just to touch back on failures up the ladder, somebody once said, the most successful man has had many failures before he had that one success. And that is so true on so many levels, not only with comedy, but in life. You know, you can fail a thousand times, but as long as you keep learning the lessons and you keep pushing forward, those failures will eventually produce that success, because you learn and you grow with each failure.
I tell you that.
Or each disappointment.
It's so true, because I know when I was trying to put my story out, because a lot of people always say, well, what's your story? What's your story? And when I tell them my story, they laugh, and I say, hey, my story is the day I almost went postal. I really like people to go and research. You know, you want to know more about me, you're going to do some deep research to find out what you need to find out. But it took me 7 years to get my documentary done. I wasted a lot of money, but I tried real hard to come up with money over and over and over again. And then God just touched some hearts, and I ended up getting 2 documentaries done, and it didn't even cost me anything.
Right.
Wow. You know, that's dedication. You know, comedy itself is dedication itself. You know, you're dedicated to the crowd. It's you're acting, but you're just doing, you're acting it. You're acting on stage, but you're actually, you know, you're committed to your audience and giving them the best experience possible. You know, and I just feel that energy from you.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, these comedians, and Red, he's one of the funniest ones that I had. I mean, everyone was funny to me. And I look beyond what a lot of people see when they see. Because I'm a visionary. I'm more of a visionary when it comes to this industry. I don't down a person if they're not as funny as everyone else think they should be. I look beyond it because I look at a person, their development. I like to watch their development, and I always try to give an open-minded approach to anyone in their craft, anyone in their gifts, anyone in their love for whatever it is they're doing. It doesn't matter if it's music or comedy or poetry or whatever, because you and I know, Ray, that it takes us a minute to find out where we actually fit in the comedy industry. Where do you want to take your comedy? Do you want to
be
that person that gets the laugh from being the rude type of comedian, or you want to be that type of comedian that go tit for tat, or, you know, if you want to be like me, I'm a prop comic, or if you want to be a storyteller, you know what I mean? If you have a feel for where you fit in this industry.
Definitely. And another one of my comedy buddies talk about this all the time. You have to find your niche. And every comic has a specific niche.
just you know, and I love what you mentioned. You said, Mr. Comedian, Mr. Comedian Torrid, you know, you said yourself that, you know, you're not just the one telling the jokes, but you're the one that's operating your operating like it is a business. You're marketing yourself. You're understanding how to get sponsors for your show, and not only that, but you're also, you know, you're crafting it. You're writing the material, and then you may even want to write for other comedians. Because, you know, you're that much more than just a comedian yourself. You're also a mentor. Do you see yourself in that light as well, comedian Detroit Red?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
That you're also, you know, not only a comedian, but you also are a mentor for those who just are starting out, understanding the craft itself.
Yes. I definitely try to give as much advice or mentorship as I can to any upcoming comics, because you can always do better if you know better. And when I started, I really did get a lot of advice from existing comics, but here and there I would have a comic drop me a word or two of advice about what they saw in my sets, in my material, and I'm glad that I listened. Because it helped me to grow in my craft and really progress and go places that I never imagined I would have just telling jokes. So I try to make it a habit to share whatever I've picked up along the way in the years with new comics or coming into the game, because I want to see everybody succeed on whatever level they meant to succeed on. And if I can have a part in that, even if it's just saying, hey, you need to hurry up and move to L.A. Hey, you need to, you know, work on your time. And, hey, you know, don't come off so mean. Whatever it is, if it's just, hey, keep doing your thing. If I can have a part in an upcoming comic reaching their full potential, it does my heart just as much as it does for me to reach my potential. So, yes, definitely, I keep a mental mindset at all times, much as I possibly can.
And then one thing about this industry, you have to do something to stand out, no matter what. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you are that go hard comic, or are you that person that try, or are you someone that I'm gonna use myself as an example. I've often have people contact me, especially when I'm out in the community. I do more comedy in the community than I have done in a long time on stage. And
okay.
people will come to me and they'll say, well, where can I find you online? And I say, you can't. I'm probably a very small percent of comedians that has been around since the 80s that you cannot find my comedy online. Now, some might pop up when I get to that success level that most people are looking at me to get to, everything will start popping up. I was just talking to a lady today that brought up the Jerry Springer episode that I was on. You know, what I'm saying? So my performance, performing to be on Last Comic Standing might pop up. My performance of trying to get on BET Comic View might pop up. You just never know. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
A lot of stuff will start popping up when you get to that next successful level, that you're trying to get to. Either somebody's going to bring up something to try to hurt you, or bring up something that say, hey, I remember, oh, have you ever known, or hey, did you see this, or hey, did you know that?
Right. You know, speaking of social media, I'm kind of glad you touched on that, because it's kind of been a topic of conversation amongst the comedians as of lately, because what's happening is the internet. Social media has really changed the parameters of the stand-up comedy game. And when I say that, I'm saying it's now become just as important to be relevant on the social media and the internet as it is to travel to L.A., travel to New York, travel to Atlanta, traveled to Chicago, which a lot of people don't know. The reason I named those four cities is because those are the comedy meccas. Those are where every comic is trying to go to get those movie roles, to get that contract deal, to get that agent that's going to give them that good work, opening up for the top names or whatnot. And the social media age has really given anybody an opportunity to build a fanship and a following to go pursue, which, you know, I'm not upset with it at all, because in some ways I wish it was available in my younger career. Like you said, from the 80s, I didn't start to 98, but when I started in 98, in order to get in the comedy club, you would have to send the bio. You would have to have a VHS tape, which means you need to know somebody with two VCRs.
Right.
So they could record the first tape.
Wow.
And then they have $60 to go to the post office, mail it off, and then wait anxiously and hope they call you.
They don't realize how much work it is, you know?
Something that they can take from us. You are the ones that can create. You know, every now and then you get some comedians that come together and they get their podcast together or they do a little skit or whatever. I'm telling you, I'm just so praying that everything comes full circle for me for next year for the Comedy Festival collaboration, because I'm telling you, we will be on fire when all of these comedy festivals start to connect and collaborate through partnerships, and we're doing it for causes that we care about and we're passionate about. It's coming. I'm telling you, with all of these connections I've built across the country, I've built it in almost every state, from comedians to promoters to people who are writing. That's what I've been doing, Red. I've been sitting back and observing and building relationships. I didn't care if it was going to take me 10, 15, or 20 years. Once I get to that point, we will be on fire. We will have so much stuff going back to back to back to back, from groups over here writing, getting those ideas out of our heads and onto the paper and then onto the screen or onto YouTube or on the stage. It's an opportunity when we come together. You know, hashtag we are powerful together. I'm telling you, we got it. We just got to stop being afraid of coming together.
But now I'm also seeing, you know, comedians like Donald, I think his name is David Arnold, I believe. Not the Caucasian one.
Oh, yeah, I love David Arnold. He's amazing with his family.
But have you seen him on Instagram? Now, him on Instagram, yeah. Now, you notice how he does these skits on Instagram, and he's got over half a million people following him?
Yeah, with his family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's one of those evolutions of comedy that I'm talking about. The new one-minute, two-minute skit carries more power in some cases than my 45-minute show in the club with. And I try to get comics to understand this, is that you never want to lead a traditional route alone, because you're going to get the training that an internet comic may not have. The internet comic is getting that we don't get on that stage. It's the massive reach. And that's what the social media era has given us. And we have to understand that that stage is where we want to ultimately be. And the big stage is our final goal. But when the game evolves and the steps change, you got to learn how to take them steps. You can't keep trying to go up the old broke, crumpled set of steps. You got to adapt and come up this new set of steps. Well, you're going to find yourself left in the dust. And irrelevant is the death of any innovator, comic, singer, actor. Once you become irrelevant, that's the death of your career. And that's just really the bottom line of it.
Tell you, that's why I stepped on the other side years ago. I said, I see what's happening in the future. And I'm going to get started right now. Because, I mean, I've written my stage play. The movie that I'm writing is like a 5-part comedy movie, and it's just waiting for a number of comedians to be a part of it. I mean, it's just like a back-to-back role, Certified Crazy is the title.
Well, Mr. Comedian Detroit Red, I think she's giving out an invitation.
she got my number. She know.
But here's the thing. Every person that was associated to the comedy festival that I started way back in 2010.
Wow,
I will be reaching out to everyone, because the thing is, when I first introduced that idea, and you remember, Red, out of 35 contestants, two of those contestants got sponsored to come to St. Louis.
Yeah, one of them was from Toledo. He came through the Detroit auditions, actually. Daryl Banks.
But somebody had to take his plate.
Shiny D.
Right, and the other person person came from Racine, Wisconsin, and I tried to tell the promoters, the comedians that promote then, I said, if we all piggyback off of each other, if everyone had stuck together, we could be doing $1 million comedy competition by now.
Right.
And everybody had to basically just do what they do naturally. If they already had a room, they already had it rolling, everybody do what they do in that city. And then, because once we build these collaborations and we're bringing our numbers together, you know who come knocking? Sponsors.
The industry, that's right.
Sponsors. That was like, wait a minute, that's a lot of numbers. You're talking about all 50 states connected, and I've already got everything is already set to go. I did my paperwork with Guinness back in 2014. I created a whole new category for Guinness, and as soon as I pull it off here in St. Louis, I'm coming to every state, but I only want to partner with two promoters in each state, because we got to leave all that other opportunity for others to do their thing, because only thing is, nobody will be able to break the union, because we'll already be connected.
And I'm going to tell you, you make it happen in St. Louis, you can make it happen anywhere. That's St. Louis, the show me state. You know, that's what I'm taking on. I belong to St. Louis.
Well, let me tell you this. I almost had it pulled off this year. This year, I was able to get the campus of Harrisville State University. And because I couldn't pull it off this year, a lot of people was looking like, oh, yeah, it's a done deal. She's not going to do it. But I have the campus for next year. So we got the campus, we got the convention center and the stadium, the theater inside the convention center and the dome. I'm working on getting the down payments for the convention center and the dome. I already have the campus. Everything is set with the campus. So now all we got to do is cover the rest of the costs. I mean, I have the gymnasium, the small auditorium, and the main auditorium for the preliminary rounds and the semifinal rounds from 8 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night for 6 days. So if I can't get people to move on it, I don't know what to tell you.
All right, that's going to be fair for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, my main goal is to do $100,000 cash and prizes competition, but I can't say too much from what I do know for right now, because you know a lot of stuff you just have to keep to yourself until everything is written in stone. But it took me years to pitch this idea to explore St. Louis. I had to go through everything from designing the floor plan to going through architects to draw this up and draw that up. That cost me. That was a failed effort. Then I had to redo it again. Then I had to resubmit my proposal. Then I had to re-pitch, go to another meeting. Months go by, go to another meeting. I mean, when you don't have the money, if I was a well-known name, I could have been pulled this thing off. And if I could have got a lot of the well-known comedians or the comedians with a name for themselves in their city to stick it out, man, we would have had the baddest, most wanted to be a part of comedy festival than anything that anybody can put out there, because the way I designed it, nobody was going to be a loser. Everybody was going to win. You're just going to have your top winners, but everybody was going to be a winner, and everybody was going to walk away connected to somebody that was going to put them on to something. It's happening, because that's what I've been doing. I stepped away from the stage to build the relationships with people who are writing, people who are making, are doing filmmaking, people who have connections in the music and industry, music. It doesn't matter, because through everything, you're going to have some kind of connection to this or that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Just being a part of connecting with Yolanda, just being connected to Yolanda, amazing connections mixed with my connections. It's just a power. The strength is in the numbers.
Well, that's what I do. Besides being a host, my other title is being an entertainment connector. That's what I do. And then my company, Radio and TV Entertainment, that's, we cater to those who are trying to make residual income in the entertainment industry so that they can retire and not feel like they have to continue and just relax and be that mentor that they were meant to be, because now they've already walked the 8 mile, not to steal the title from, Eminem's movie.
Right. I had an unfortunate history part in that. Okay. I remember when that was here. And yeah, big shout out to Eminem bringing that work on for Detroit back then. He had all local entertainers in that movie, from extras to rap scene. All the rappers in that movie all were local, real Detroit rappers that he rapped against in the battle scene.
Oh, wow.
Now, I heard that.
A lot of people didn't know that. Yes.
Exhibit. And Exhibit, he knows the other guy that's going to be in my movie, Monster for Somali. His name is Charles D. Clark. And he was on Empire. So I didn't know that.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I didn't know that Exhibit was from Detroit. Okay.
You know how we do it in the D, always trying to represent from the 313. From the 313 to the 314.
The 314. I'm telling you. I have to ask, Mr. Comedian Detroit, Red, I want to know, what got you involved in the art of comedy and also acting? What got you started?
It was actually a life situation. In 98, which is when I started, my mother passed in February and my dad passed in September of that year. I started comedy a month later because I became kind of withdrawn. I was the only kid. So when it happened, it was really all of a sudden. I was like 24, so caught off guard. I had older parents. So they, you know how older people were. They don't really tell you much, don't keep you in mix. So I had a lot hit me at once. I had to pick up the responsibilities of my father's home. I had to adjust to the fact that they had both just left. So I became a little withdrawn from everyday life. I cleaned up the house and I was staying in the basement. And my cousin actually, I guess the family got a little worried about me, and they sent one of my older cousins at me, who happened to have been around the comedy scene for a long time. She had been going to shows and knew a lot of the local comics, and she took me to an open mic one night at Coco's House of Comedy, and I saw Foolish doing his thing, and something in me was like, you know what? You can do that. He had me laughing so hard. He's like, people been telling you all your life, you can do this. So I went the next week, and at that time, Bill Clinton had got his first fellatio. That's how they like to say it proper, fellatio, in the Oval Office. And I didn't know how to write a joke. I didn't know about no material. I just knew how to, excuse my French, talk shit. And that's what I did. I got up there and talked so much crap. The audience was laughing. They had to play the music to get me off, because I didn't know nothing about no light, no stage time, none of that. And I've been going 21 years since, because there is no high in the world, no marijuana, no liquor, that could ever compare to going on that stage and making a group of strangers laugh at your ideals and your thoughts. And I just been going ever since.
Wow. That right there
nice.
is an inspiring background. Wow. That's inspiring right there. To be that connected with an audience like that, to be able to get them intertwined, and make them kind of break through that shell. You know, when you go in and sit down to a performance, you don't know what's going to happen. But when you get that one person like yourself, Mr. Comedian, Detroit Red, to get up there, you can break all, you can make all the masks come off and just be themselves.
Yes, yes. It's really, to this day, you know, young comics, this is the most questions you get from young comics. Do you still get nervous when you get ready to go on stage? Yes. Every single time. It's just like the first time for me. Because it's just, I hate to say it like this, but it's really no other way I can describe it. It's just like being a drug addict. You always chasing that high. And to get that crowd involved in you to that degree is the best high in the world. So that nerve is always there. Man, I don't want to mess up. Man, I hope I don't bomb. Man, I hope this material come off like it's supposed to. And once you get up there, you do it, and you get the reward of making them laugh. It's just like nothing in the world will ever compare to it. Not to me, anyway.
No, that's right. I know I can't wait to hit the stage again. I got a lot to let off my chest.
Yeah, it's great therapy, too. I'm going to say this. Most comics are crazy. Okay? And that stage is our therapy. If you ever wonder what makes a comic keep hitting that stage, at the least, most non-thought-about thing is so they can get that therapy out. Because most comics are people that like to vocalize how they feel. And for some of us, the stage is the best place to be, or not, we'll end up in county.
Right. Wow. These damn kids. Let me tell you about this one.
Right.
So true. I got 9 kids, so I got a lot to say.
Is it true that it's not funny unless it's true? Unless you tell them the truth on stage. Is that right?
In my experiences, I've never been able to be what I like to call an exaggeration comedian. And that's where they can really come up with that material, make an entire scenario up. Out the air, all my material has always been the best when it's been the most realest thing that has happened to me. And that's because I can relate to that. I'm enthralled in it. It's a passion to it. I'm connected to what's happening. What the story I'm telling is so true. I don't have to really think of nothing to make up with it because it's reality. And you'd be surprised how many people go through the exact same thing you do, but are embarrassed to mention it, embarrassed to talk about it, you know? So reality and relatability have, to me, have always made the best material.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You can't lie about your own life.
You can't. I mean, you can, because you can
educate a little bit, but you know,
it's going to be the same.
Right.
Yeah.
You can laugh at yourself. You can get some good laughs.
Amen. You know, I'm always amazed by, you know, the comedy materials that a lot of comedians come up with. And it's amazing how each and every one of you, especially yourself, comedian Detroit, where when you get on stage, you're able to connect with your audience and just make a memory. How does that feel, you know, to do that?
Oh, it feels great. It feels great. I love people. Anyway, when I'm not telling jokes or entrepreneuring my business or some hustle I got going on, I'm known as one of the greatest hustlers here. Like, because I hustle anything. I sell ice to an Eskimo. I don't care. But it is great because my comedy has, I believe, introduced me to a world of people I never would have met. And by being able to connect to strangers in life like that and make new, long-lasting friendships and connections, it's like the greatest thing in the world. You walk in a place of stranger, you walk out of family member, and nothing in the world, that's great. It just feels awesome.
Able to speak your mind. It seems like I love comedians when they speak their mind on stage, but it come off funny. you know, you're able to connect and make that joke funny that you can. And you know, and I love that you mentioned that when it comes to speaking about reality, what's going on, and you're able to make that, you know, people think, but then they can connect it and find the humor in reality. You know. How do you, so basically, you base it off of what's going on today. What's current? Is that right? Your material.
Yes. I have. And any good comic has a set of material that they worked on, developed, they use when they're getting paid gigs or whatever. But I dab a lot into current events, politics, life situations. Whether it be my life or somebody that I know that's real life situations. So it's always giving me some material to, always giving me material to reflect back to or try out. And again, when it's real life, you know, because a lot of people see you as an entertainer. So the misconception with entertainers on a lot of levels is that we don't be regular people. We don't go through regular stuff. You know what I'm saying? I cough and fart at the same time. It's gonna hurt for me just like it do for anybody else. But for me to be able to express that with no shame, full confidence, and make a person laugh at that, which is laughing at themselves, and man, it's just nothing that it can beat it. So to be as real and relatable as possible would be what I would tell any comic that's coming up in the game and want to really be successful. Because when it's real and it's relatable, you're making people laugh at themselves, and they love the person that can make them feel joy and humor about self over shame and disgrace.
Wow. You know, I just say well said, because that's true. You know, we're all made of flesh and bone.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and
that's right. When I get drunk and stumble and fall, my knees bleed just like the nigga drunk.
Amen.
Right. My A-sponsor is not gonna like this radio interview now. No, I'm just playing.
Listen at your own risk, everyone. So. Just don't laugh and cry at the same time. You know? But, you know, what would be to you, what makes a good comic to you, you know, and as far as character and professionalism for you?
For me, a comic that's always at that gig early. A comic that takes the time to, again, observe their crowd, and they can go in there. If you're flexible, a flexible comedian to me is the best. No comic should be restricted to only telling jokes for white folks, only telling jokes for black folks. You should be able to take your humor anywhere at any time. And any comic that can bridge any of those tight gaps and is flexible like that is a good comic to me, because they've actually learned the true craft of humor. And humor does not see gender, it does not see color, it does not see religion. It sees making people laugh, bringing joy to a life that may not have had none. So to me, a great comic is a flexible comic that can tread in any lifestyle and make those people laugh.
Well, I hope, are really tuning in right now, listening to the conversation, because you definitely dabbled in some wisdom right there when it comes to the craft of comedy, because it's, as you have said earlier, it is a business, and I have never heard, you know, Target or Walmart ever restricting, you know, ever being restrictive on their business clientele. They're open to everything.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. The only person I know restrictive is Costco, and that's because they don't take the food stamp card. And I'm working on them changing that right now, but they got some good stuff in there that I would like to use my EBT bridge card for.
Well, see, now we have to go on to Mrs. Marshall Whitley's podcast, because she's got, and excuse my friend, she's got a podcast called We Sick of This Shit. So. So, I think that's a good one to bring over there to her podcast.
Yes, Costco, we going to put your ass on blast. You better start taking these EBT cards, goddammit.
You know, hey, look, everybody got an ET now.
That's right. You know? I like name brands.
Okay. You know, we bringing your money, but it's just on the card.
Right. Same thing. Every dollar spends.
You know? Don't be bougie.
Right.
You know. So,
and I thought we stopped wearing Gucci when they stopped doing it. I thought we was boycotting Gucci. I want to tell my brothers and sisters that's listening right now. Can we make up our mind what we boycotting at once? We boycott so much stuff at one time, we don't have enough impact. We got to make a list of current boycotts, okay? If we boycott Gucci, let's stick to Gucci till we win. Then move on to the next people. We boycott everything at the same time. It's not as effective.
You know, I'm with you on that. We do need to be more organized.
Our boycotts, right.
You know,
I can only do so much walking and marching now. You're going to have to pick which one of these you want me to march for.
You know, the steps to go now is to make an itinerary.
Right.
Which flight you gonna go with first?
Right.
You know, until you get to that destination. Once you get there, make sure it's 100%. You're 100% right in it. You know?
Right.
Indeed. You know, but I just see so much of you, so much that you've done in the past. What's up and coming for you now, Mr. Comedian in Detroit?
Well, as of lately, I've been running a room here in Detroit for about 2 years now. I've started opening up some once-a-month shows. I've been doing a lot of producing, but I'm going to be honest, I am really grinding this internet comic thing because it's really a new road to take and go. And I mean, who don't like having 1 million+, 2 million, 3 million followers? My next biggest upcoming thing, I think, is going to be my one-man special. That is the one thing I have not done yet in my career, is a one-man show, a special of my own. I'm a patient person. That's probably why it took me so long, because I critique myself, I think, harder than anybody else does. And I want to make sure when I do it, that it's just the best of what I got to give. So I've been talking to my folks, and they tell me they think I'm ready for it. I know I got the time for it. So I think the next thing I will be doing will be my one-man special, which will be entitled Black and White as I Want to Be.
I love it.
So, and I want to be, because they don't get it. You know, I don't know if you see in my pictures, I'm like the most high yellow brother you will ever meet. And I'm just ready to really branch off and go to that next level. So my one-man show will be my next big event that I'll be working on.
I certainly can't wait. I can't wait to see it, you know, because right now I know you funny as I don't know what.
Thank you. I love it.
Indeed. And, you know, do you feel that you might want to put that on a, you know, DVD? You know, put it on television. I don't know, Roku.
Yeah. Well, hey, nowadays, and I want to say this to any comic listening, it is so many different outlets to put your media on, from Amazon, Netflix, they the only folks out there. Now, Monique want to boycott him. That's her business. Sister, do what you feel is right. But try every avenue. When you put your media out, don't be ashamed to do a Tubi because you ain't on Netflix. Do a Vimeo. Do a Amazon. There's so many outlets now for us to put our stuff out. That for a comic to produce a great show, have a DVD, but not have it on iTunes, not have it on Amazon, is an injustice to yourself.
Yeah, let me add to this.
What's here.
Right. And let me add this. I'm strongly suggesting anybody listening, get your own website. These social media platforms can shut down at any time.
Yes. Totally agree with that. Yes. Yes. Invest the money. That's something else too, I think. That's not said enough in our industry. If you're truly serious about your craft, you will invest into yourself. One thing that local rappers do, and the underground rap industry has trained their upcoming talents to do, is to invest in self, down to getting the beat, down to having studio time, whatever it takes as a comic to make you better at your craft. Don't be afraid to spend that investment dollar on self. You are the product. You are the brand. You are the commodity to make the revenue. And if you don't put your all in, you cannot expect a lot back. That's just bottom line. It's not a piece of equipment that's needed to produce a comedy show that I don't own. I have an in-house green screen studio. I have video recording equipment. I got enough equipment. If my DJ for one of my shows canceled, I can go get the equipment and set it up and be good to go. Investing in self is the best move in comedy. And I'm not talking about when you first start, once you decided this is what you're going to do. Investing in yourself is the best move you can make, because when you got to wait on everybody else to do what you need done, it's going to hinder your progression. And the one thing we don't need in this fast-paced world that we live in now is anything else to slow your progression down. But you get left behind real quick before you even know it.
Look, that's wisdom right there. Yes,
yes.
You listening in.
Building relationships.
Building
relationships.
Listening to this, because this is real wisdom out there for people in the world. That's real wisdom from somebody who walked 8 miles and back. Around.
As my feet, it feel like 8,000.
That's right.
Amen. You know, look, everyone, this has been comedian Detroit Red. And Mr. Detroit, how can people find you, Mr. Red?
You can Google me, or you can follow me on any of the social media platforms at Comedian Detroit Red. That's YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Also, I do a video blog show on Facebook called The Detroit Red Show. I talk about all kind of stuff on there, from real life situations to having fun. But any of these social media platforms, Comedian Detroit Red, you know me, because I'm the coolest looking white dude with a bebop on. And you know, you know me. You'll be like, this dude kind of look white, but something in me is telling me he's not completely white. That's Comedian Joy Ray.
He will season it, man. There you go, man.
Hey, bro. I tell him all the time, I was mixed before it was cool to be mixed. So, I wanted the original Elite.
He wanted the red foxes out there, everybody. So,
oh yeah,
he paid the way. We love you, Detroit Red, and definitely we enjoy
y'all too.
And we gotta have you back on the show. Definitely keep us updated. And we're gonna have to have you back on the show. We're gonna have to have you on the comedy.
Doesn't matter if you're black, it doesn't matter if you're white, doesn't matter if you're wrong or whether you're right. It doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what you know. You're gonna be tested wherever you go. Now the choices that we make in life are all up to matter what nobody says, your heart is all you need to trust. To see the world through a visionary's eyes, it's gonna take courage. You're gonna need strength to compromise. To see the world through an innovator's eyes, it's gonna take courage before your dreams are realized. It doesn't matter if you're rich, it doesn't matter if you're poor. Everybody loves money, it only makes you want it more. Will you fight for the team? Are you the kind that makes a scene? Are you quick to make decisions and then decipher what it means? Now the choices that we make in life are all up to us. No matter what nobody says, your heart is all you need to trust. To see the world through a visionary's eyes, it's gonna take courage. You're gonna need strength to compromise. To see the world through an innovator's eyes, it's gonna take courage. You'll have to reach way down deep. Now the weight upon your shoulders, I bet nobody ever told you that the road would be tougher than you've ever seen. Think about your faith and courage, no need to be discouraged, because your dreams and virtues have brought you this far. To see the world through a visionary, strength to compromise. To see the world through an innovator's eyes, it's gonna take courage for your dreams are realized. To see the world through a visionary's eyes, it's gonna take courage. You're gonna need strength to compromise. To see the world through an innovator's eyes,
Are you a talent trying to make it in the world of entertainment? The way to do that is through social media. But how? With the ebook, How to Profit in Entertainment, Social Media Guide from author Yolanda Nolly. This incredible book will teach you how to brand yourself and how to earn profits using social media and other entertainment media platforms. The entertainment agencies will be offering you high-paying jobs. How to Profit in Entertainment, Social Media Guide. Order your copy today on Amazon and everywhere else.
Chapter 1. How to Rise to the Top When Everybody There Is Already. Think you've got talent? You're not alone. The power of the internet, YouTube, and reality television has created a big pool of famous and not so famous people. So how do you rise to the top in your career, especially as an actor or actress in Hollywood, when it seems so crowded above? These three tips will help you make the moves to superstardom and stretch your 15 minutes of fame as a movie star into an hour. Get trained. What separates the actors from the imitators? Their respect for the craft of acting. Before you spend money on headshots, find the best acting, singing, and dancing classes in your area, and invest in your career. The most talented people in the business continually train with acting coaches to prepare for roles. They don't take their gift for granted. It is quite possible to have the innate talent for a particular art, but the successful entertainers who continue to work in the entertainment industry have developed their art over time. Acquire multiple skills. Become a Jack or Jill of all trades. The stars of the future will write, produce, and direct their own projects. Don't get lost by having only one skill that can make you money. Become an actor, director, writer, producer, and even a model. Can't write? Collaborate with a young filmmaker who needs an actor or fresh new face for his or her projects. The top money makers in show business look for ways to increase their market share and find opportunities to promote their multiple skills. You must diversify your talent to stay relevant. Create your own products. Be a trendsetter. Want to be the next Berry Gordy, Steven Spielberg, Mark Burnett, or Oprah Winfrey? Create an amazing product. Become an expert in your field. But you can't be a trend follower. You must be a trend setter. Don't better the worst product. Better the best. Gordy is a musical genius. Spielberg is a film mastermind. Mark Burnett is the whiz kid of reality TV. Oprah is a successful talk show maven and the new product's best girlfriend. Find a niche, create products, and sell. But the products you create must be phenomenal, not average, not mediocre. Think like the greats. Improve upon their successes. Create amazing products that your audience can't live without. Famous people of the future are increasing their knowledge, creating products, and diversifying their talents. Some of these innovators are stealing the thunder from established stars that are still following the old rules found in the star-making playbook. Use my suggestions to stay ahead of the next group of reality stars and home video masterminds. If not, you might disappear before you even enter the game. Chapter 2. Finding ways to make money using your artistic. Whether you have great musical talent, the ability to paint, or have outstanding writing prowess, you may be able to find ways to make money by using your talent. You certainly should use these skills to your advantage and not let them become wasted on just a recreational hobby. Musicians have so many different venues to go out and sell their talent, while a real, serious artist might still be able to sell their work if they can get their work exposed to the public eye. Writers often have a tough time trying to get their work published, but have outlets like short story and freelance opportunities as well to make a buck. While the most common stumbling block for an artist to find ways to make money is often their hardline stance on not wanting to be a sellout and wanting to keep their trade pure, this will often keep the artist very poor until they are dead. The smart ones will get out in the marketplace and try and get their art sold to as many people as they can. Quite a lot of musicians will work as cover bands or do things like weddings and school proms to make a buck, and writers will sell their work writing things they have little interest in just to gain notoriety and bring in the cash as well. This is often the price an artist has to pay before they are established in their venue of choice. If you are someone who has a talent, you may want to start looking for ways to make money from that talent, even if it is a weekend gig just doing kids' birthday parties as a juggling cowboy or singing with a Beatles cover band. It will allow you to make some money doing what you are good at and potentially open some doors for you to expand off of that talent. No matter what it is you ultimately want to do with your life, letting your artistic skills find ways to make money for you cannot hurt. You never know how far your talent may take you these days, as the avenues to exposure on a grand scale are more plentiful than they used to be. From YouTube to American Idol, there are many roads to success these days. The best thing you can do is try your hand at as many paths as possible and see where it leads. If it never works out for you, so be it. You can return to your boring 9-to-5 day job and keep singing on the weekends. Chapter 3. How to make money from your crafts and art. If you are someone who enjoys putting together artistic projects, you can turn this into an opportunity to make extra money online. Whether you paint, make jewelry, take photographs, or craft other pieces of artwork together, you can turn this into a money-making activity. People are often willing to pay for different artworks which they enjoy, and as long as your works actually have artistic merit, you will have a good chance at making money from them. There are a few different websites available which can help you sell crafts and other pieces of art that you may have put together. By running searches and looking through some of the listings offered, you may be able to determine which website your pieces will fit into best. Taking the time to do your research will help you make extra money online, as you will know the best places to put your talents without wasting your time. Should you start to make extra money online through your art projects, you will only be inspired to spend more time working on them. This will serve two purposes in your life. Not only will you be bringing in some extra cash, which always helps, but you will also be able to spend time doing something that you genuinely love. This goal, which started out simply as a way to make extra money online, will turn into a great chance for you to develop your talents and skills and grow as an artist. It is definitely an opportunity which should be explored by anyone who is serious about developing their talents. Chapter 4. The right way to use YouTube to promote you. When we think of social media, YouTube is not really at the top of the list in the mind of an entrepreneur. It is less about social interaction and more of a good place to go for some distraction. This might be the case, but that doesn't mean it cannot be an integral part of marketing your brand online as an entertainer. What makes YouTube a social site is how easy it is for users to share the content with other people, as well as the ability to leave comments and subscribe to the channels they like. It is another way for a brand to reach its target audience online and grow its reputation as an industry leader. YouTube has the lowest average bounce rate of all the social networks. It is the continuous engagement from users that make it a channel that holds onto attention better than most. People are able to simply watch content instead of scroll and read. Another thing to consider is just how enormous YouTube's reach is. Over 1 billion unique visitors. That is a huge market that is largely untapped by so many businesses today. YouTube is a great channel for brands of all sizes in the entertainment world. Even for bloggers who are eager to grow their readership and build up their personal brand, can take advantage of the simple platform by uploading videos. So, as a brand, what should you be doing to get the most of all that YouTube can offer? First, fill out your profile completely. It is the same on every social network. You don't want to leave holes. Make sure that you are giving as much information about yourself as possible. Visitors want to see your info when they click on your profile, so don't leave them disappointed. Then, give your channel a good description. The channel description is like an introduction letter. It lets people know who you are and what they can expect when they watch your videos. This doesn't have to be a great work of literature, simply a brief statement about who you are, what types of videos you will be posting, and how often. Be sure to use your keywords in your description to make your channel easier to find through a user search. Be sure to include links. On your About page, it is always a good idea to include the links to your other social sites, like Twitter and Facebook, plus a direct link to your website or blog. This is a good way to get more people engaging with your brand outside of YouTube and build your fan base. Give your page some love. You can personalize your channel art in YouTube by adding a profile picture. Make sure that it is something reflective of your brand by using your logo, colors, and even your own picture. Stay active. You don't want people visiting your page and only finding a few videos that you posted at the dawn of time. Always create new videos to post to your channel. Interact with your followers by responding to any comments that they leave. Send out a thank you when they subscribe. You can see anything being discussed on your channel under the Discussion tab. The more active you are with your channel, the bigger your audience is going to get. It is also a good idea to embed your videos into blog posts, status updates on social media, or on your website. This is a good way for you to add channel subscribers from those who are already following you elsewhere. YouTube is a key part of any marketing strategy. Are you using it for your brand?
There are people chosen to lead this world in the human race, and people born to follow and taught God's great grace. And then there are givers who understand the needs of a fellow man, when love rules their hearts and courage takes a stand. Humanity linked together hand in hand. We are love, depending on God above.
We are grace,
understanding the human race.
We are faith,
holding on to a brighter day.
We are for a better way.
We are charity, looking out for a fellow man. We take our courage to the fight, take what's wrong to make it right. Walk through the darkness to following the sun to regain our sight. We are love, depending on God above.
We are grace,
understanding the human race.
We are faith,
holding on to a brighter day. Life is bigger than you and me. Takes a village to raise a family. That means it's up to all humanity.
Looking out.
What happens in this life is up to you and me. Mentoring our children so they will understand to love one another the best that they can. I really do believe love.
We are love.
We are grace.
We are grace.
I do believe
we are faith.
We are love.
We are grace.
I really do believe
we are charity,
looking out for a fellow man, for a fellow man.
Another day, another psychosis. Well, actually, Quack, the clinical term is a neurosis.
What do you mean? You're my neurosis. I mean, you're my psychosis. I mean, because every day is everyone else's and you as my psychosis.
Well, why are we getting personal, Quack?
Well, hey, that's what I live. That's who I am. Another day, another psychosis.
Morning, Marge.
Oh, it's you. Finally decided to show up for work, huh? Before you give me some half-baked, pitiful excuse like the dog ate my gas pedal, alien stole my underwear, or my personal favorite, you had a gray matter leak in your brain and were waiting for the plumber. Give me one good reason, just one, why I shouldn't give you your walking papers right now.
You know, technically, Marge is correct, Quack. These fabrications cloak a dormant inbred desire to shrug responsibility and return to infancy with a poopy diaper.
With a what?
I'm waiting.
One good reason, Marge? I'll give you three. How about this is my office, you're my secretary, and you work for me?
Oh? Well then good morning, Dr. Quack.
I'll be in my office. Why do I even put up with her? She harasses the patients, lets the phone ring off the hook, and couldn't type a decent letter at gunpoint.
As you collocate these facts, I must admit that was a little drastic.
The gun wasn't loaded anyway. Hey, wait a minute. Why am I even talking to you, Zig? You don't exist. You're just a figment in my mind.
Fine. I'm here with you day and night to help you with your psychosis. And you treat me like some bad sushi left for months in the bottom of a desk drawer.
Ugh, I wondered what that smell was. Thanks. Regardless, I'm the psychiatrist here. Me, Dr. Quack. Doctor, understand? What do you think the DR in front of my name means?
Delusional regression, if I took a clinical stab at it.
Very funny, Zig. That's your opinion.
Excuse me. Mr. Delusional Regression, your next patient is here.
Tell him I need a few minutes.
I'm smelling the pungent aroma of a soiled diaper again, Quack.
Look, I treat imaginary characters, and I can't even get rid of you. Maybe I should just end it all.
That's irrational. And I refuse to be the one to add to your own destruction by telling you the gun is under your latest issue of Mallard Girl magazine in your top drawer.
Oh, thanks, maybe. Maybe I'm just tired and hungry. I'm kind of short on money, and...
I would allocate the funds, but I left them in my other attire.
Ah, gotcha! You don't even have the money, because you don't exist! Now, who's the best psychologist?
Both of us.
Why?
I purposely failed to tell you where the bullets were.
So, Quack, how long have you had this fixation with self-destruction when I could easily sell tickets or send you spam emails?
Another day, another psychosis.